On ABC Radio Hobart, it's Breakfast with Rick Goddard.
Grace Tame, the first Tasmanian named as Australian of the Year. And I thought it would be really important for us to hear from someone who's campaigned in the area of domestic violence, sexual assault and abuse in Tasmania for a long time, Alina Thomas, who's CEO of Engender Equality. Hi, Alina.
Good morning, Rick.
Morning. What's your reaction today to hearing, it almost doesn't matter that it's a Tasmanian in a way, but hearing Grace, hearing someone with this platform elevated to a national conversation?
Yeah, it's just absolutely brilliant. And not only the cause, as you know, I'm extremely passionate about elevating the voices of people with lived experience of abuse, but also Grace in particular, the fact that she's young and she's, you know, and she's very, very smart, and that she's got a very fixed agenda, a very fixed goal on what she wants to achieve. So I know that she's very driven and she's going to accomplish a lot. So, yeah, it's wonderful news for us.
As people are hearing this, obviously it's going to bring up memories of their own experiences. They're going to consider about whether it's time for them to speak out about what they've done or what's been done to them. If that's happening for you today, what are the steps to take, Alina?
Oh, that's such a great question. Thanks, Rick. Look, it can be a real step into the unknown when that you know, that people want to start talking about their story. And I really do recommend that people move forward very cautiously. Once we declare something, once we say something out loud, we can't retract it. And in the world of you know, social media and the internet, these things spread very quickly. And once they're out there, they're out there. But the good news is for people who are wanting to tell their story is that there's increasingly more avenues to do that. And we run a program called Advocates for Change, where we support people who've experienced sexual abuse and family violence to be able to do so in a safe and supportive way. And that there's a peer support through that, as well as a professional support from the organisation. I think that, and because beyond the revelation of the personal revelation, there's the social feedback that can come from that as well. And of course, it's political. You know, we've seen that with the work that Grace has done very publicly, that it's not, you know, people aren't necessarily just there supporting and applauding. There are people who think that victim survivors are making it up or overreacting or just need to, you know, let sleeping dogs lie, and these sorts of things are still very prevalent in the community, and we need to be aware when we're moving forward that those less supportive voices and positions are out there as well.
Some people, I think, struggle to understand that whilst someone might be, you know, 14 or 15 and sexually quite active, that the power imbalance between consent and why an adult can't ever form a relationship with a child in that sense. Why is that not a relationship, and why is that to somewhere where we can draw a really hard line?
Yeah, look, that's a good point too, Rick, because that's what's also often missing is not only the power imbalance in the age, the gender and the status when somebody's in a role as a teacher or a tutor or a professor or any of those, a doctor, like any of the, where there's a, where there is that discrepancy in the power experience. And I think that, that we do really need to be talking about power and talking about those power hierarchies and how when one person experiences power over another, that's when this exploitation happens. And we've seen that in the Royal Commission into Institutionalised Sex Abuse. Like, so much of that was because of it was the people who held power, not necessarily that they were, you know, a stereotype or a profile of a pedophile. It was people in power. So yes, that conversation about what power is and the responsibility that comes with power so that we can use it to nurture and support the people around us and not see it as a resource that we can exploit for our own gain or pleasure or camaraderie with other people.
She's talking about survivors and being able to speak. The other side of that, of course, is all of the people who are perpetrators or who have in some way done something wrong. How did they start to think about letting go of their silence?
Yes. Well, look, having the having victims, survivors being able to step forward helps to give people who use abusive behaviour opportunities as well, because it brings the whole experience of abuse into the light, and as Grace said, makes it a conversation. So at the moment, we've got elements of shame, which works on both sides, so the victim survivor and to a much lesser degree the perpetrator, but there is that shame around that, there's not a lot of options for people to get help. We're only still beginning to really develop the service response for victim survivors and people who use abusive behaviour as well. Mm. And so as the conversation increases, our literacy around it, our vocabulary around it increases, and we can change those opportunities so that it does become something we can talk about and where people can be held accountable and hold themselves accountable, as well as reducing that shame, because I think at the moment that experience of shame is one, just one, there's many factors, but one of the factors that keeps the whole issue so well hidden underground.
Which then both sides are living with forever. Libby has texted to say, Rick, I was 9, my sister 6. This is the first time right now I'm letting go to the world of radio. This never ever leaves a victim. But thanks to Grace, others like myself will feel a freedom using their voices to heal a little. I'm now 57 and nervous but happy. And we did check with Libby before I read that she wanted that said today. So Libby, thank you so much. Is it really important, Alina, finally, to choose very carefully whom you speak with first?
Absolutely. I think that is that is, and it's important to choose who you speak to first, and also if you are the privileged, the lucky person who someone discloses to, it's important that you respond by believing that person and by really crediting that story as a valuable and a truth. Mm. And that can be an absolute life changer. When victim survivors speak out, if they are heard and believed, then that can be definitely change people's lives in terms of how they what healing and what they do after that. And that gives, just as Libby, thank you so much, Libby has said there, opportunities for other people to know that it's okay and it's safe to talk about what happened.
Thanks, Alina.
Thank you very much, Rick.